The Buddha made it very clear that his teaching was a path of doing. It was a path that needs to be followed. That's why we use the word path. Yeah. It's a line on the ground is just a line on the ground. It becomes a path when it's a means of getting from one place to another. So it's a teaching of action, of making choices, of doing. Not a teaching of passivity or numbness, switching off. Passivity. So this brings a conundrum, a puzzle for most of us in terms of spiritual life. Because when we hear about doing, just doing something now to become enlightened in the future, or just doing something now to survive today, so I'll be here tomorrow. However lofty or practical, immediate our goals might be, it's so easily put into the form of something I've got to do now to have some particular wished for result in the future. I've got to do something now to become something else some other time. As Lumpur Sumedho would so often put it, the idea, the paradigm that I'm an unenlightened being and I've got to do something now to become an enlightened being in the future. It seems quite reasonable, just in the wording of the teachings. It seems quite obvious, straightforward. But the puzzle, or the conundrum, the difficulty is that as long as the practice is cast in that form, I've got to do something now to become enlightened in the future. I've got to do something to work with my feelings today so that I'll survive till tomorrow, and everything in between. The puzzle is how to exercise effort, how to do what is needed without that being cast into the framework of self-view. That's why Lumpur Sumedho would so often say we need a paradigm shift. We need to change the framework from I'm an unenlightened being who's got to do something now in order to become enlightened in the future. Even though that might seem reasonable to the conditioned mind, the self-centered patterns of thinking, over and over and over again, he would encourage us to see that, to notice that framework that's being given to the practice, and instead to be awake now. To not put the practice into the form of a person who's got to do something to get some result, to be some other person, a different person, off in the future. But being awake now. Rather than me and my problems, rather the Buddha mind, the vijja dhatu, the element of knowing, being awake to the way things are, the Buddha seeing the Dhamma. So this is the challenge, this is a puzzle. How to exercise effort, how to make use of that path, to follow that path to a wished for result without that being cast in terms of self-view. It takes a lot of wise reflection, a lot of close attention to the patterns of thinking. I am an enlightened person, I have got to do something. That's a thought. That's a I-making thought, ahankara, the I am thought, the I am attitude is being brought into being and believed in. I am an unenlightened person. I have got to do something to become an enlightened person in the future. I am, I have, this is all ahankara, mamankara, I making and mine making, all of which leads directly to more alienation, more dukkha. It's so easy for our efforts in the practice to be taken over, to be hijacked by bhava-tanha, vibhava-tanha. I've got to get concentrated, I've got to deal with my physical problems, I've got to work with my kilesa, I've got to get rid of my kilesa, I've got to get concentration, I've got to develop insight, wisdom, I've got to become a pure-hearted, noble being. Again, it seems very reasonable, according to the words of many of the teachings, it seems to say that. But as long as that I am, I have, I must, I should, as long as that is all taken as absolute realities, as long as those feelings of I-making and mind-making are not challenged, then where that path leads is to dukkha. Again, as Lumpo Sumato would say so often, if you start off with ignorance, with wrong view, you end up with dukkha. You start off with wisdom, with vicha, with awareness, the result is nibbana, peacefulness, liberation. So in terms of establishing the practice in right view, we need a lot of mindfulness, a lot of wise reflection to notice those patterns of thinking. I am, I have, I've got, this is mine, this is me, this is what I am. Noticing how solid those judgments are taken to be. Oh, with wise reflection, those can be challenged. The sense of I the doer, I the one who is experiencing, I the one who is the owner of these feelings, I own these memories, I own this body, this is my practice. I am a person, I am a woman, I am a man, I am a monk, I am a nun, I'm a layperson, I'm an anagarika, I am. Take a look at that amness, the I-ness, me-ness, minus. Challenge it. Simply to ask, is that so? Is that the whole story? To see there's a feeling of the sensations of the body. They're felt here, they're known here, in this sphere of awareness, in this knowing heart. The presence of the body is felt here. The sounds of these words, they are received, they are known here. And then the conditioned mind says, well, I'm hearing, I'm feeling. So that's right where the attention needs to be brought. Is that so? There's hearing, there's feeling. Who's the owner? What can really own anything? And what thing really has any substance, any permanence? A sankhara is really more of an event, a process, than any kind of solid, independent, individual thing. In developing the practice as our retreat time continues, we need to be quick on our feet, alert, closely watching those habits of attitude, claiming my practice, my problems, my things, my hopes, my plans, my good qualities, my bad qualities. Get to know those feelings of I-ness and me-ness, my-ness. Those two are sankharas, they're patterns of perception. Mental attitudes arising, taking shape, dissolving, just like the sound of a word or the sensations of the body, the sounds of the birds outside the building. It's just another pattern of perception. It feels like something solid and real. I am. But the feeling of self is not self. That which knows the feelings of I and me and mine is not a person. It's not a self. It doesn't belong to a self. I say these words, but it's important for each one of us to test that out. We can hear these words and say, but I am a person, I am a woman, I am a nun, I am a layperson. I have got defilements. I am practicing. Notice those feelings, that the voice of the rational mind, the habits of thinking. What is it that knows that, but I am a person, feeling? What is it that knows that thought? Is that which knows the thought a person, or is it the formless quality of knowing, that vijja, awakened awareness, the vijja dhatu, the element of knowing? Oh, in getting to know these feelings of self, the bhava tanha, the I should, I must, I am, those feelings of having to do something to get somewhere, or the vibhava tanha, the got to get rid of my chattering mind, I've got to get rid of these defilements, I've got to get rid of these unruly emotions, and got to get rid of these painful feelings in my body, get away from the uncomfortable, the difficult, the painful, the challenging. Got to switch off, just to not feel, to not be, to not have. As we get to know those feelings of bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, the desire to be and the desire to get rid of. Doesn't mean that no work is being done or that there isn't effort to be made, but in letting go of those self-centered habits, then in their place there is established the skill of working based on mindfulness and wisdom, satipanya. In this respect, it's helpful to reflect on, get to know what the Buddha called the samapadana, the great efforts, the right efforts. Now the first is saṅvara, which means restraining. So to restrain the unwholesome from arising. So to give rise to the intention to not get lost in distracted thought, to not get lost in fear or anger or jealousy, laziness. Consciously set that intention, that effort, to restrain the unwholesome. Not from the place of, I shouldn't feel angry, I shouldn't be lazy, I shouldn't have jealous feelings, but rather recognizing fear, anger, jealousy, laziness, so on and so forth. They are obstructive, they are unhelpful. They hinder the quality of concentration and wisdom, therefore, let them be restrained. There's no I involved in any of the right efforts. That's what makes them samma, samapadana, samavayama. That's what makes the samma quality, the rightness. There's no I or me or mine involved. So restraining the unwholesome from arising, that's the first one. The second one is pahana. If the unwholesome has arisen, if there is chattering mind blasting away, proliferating, if there's dullness or sleepiness or anger, jealousy, resentment, whatever it might be, if that has arisen, And pahana, let go. That's the second of the right efforts, is to recognize the unwholesome if it's arisen, and out of mindfulness and wisdom, to release, to relax, to relinquish that, those unwholesome qualities, obstructive qualities. The third one is pavana, to give rise consciously to the wholesome. To consciously make the effort to focus the attention, to give rise to loving kindness, compassion, opening the heart to the present moment. Consciously directing the heart, the mind towards qualities of concentration, wisdom, awakened awareness, bhavana, cultivation of the wholesome. And then the last one is anurakana, to protect or to cherish, to maintain. Whatever wholesome qualities have arisen, let there be the effort to sustain them, keep them alive, feed them, nourish them. If the mind is focused and concentrated, sustain that. If there's brightness and awareness, peacefulness, sustain that. So even though these four efforts, restraining, letting go, cultivating, maintaining, can seem very close to the desire to become and the desire to get rid of, bhavatanna and vibhavatanna, they always have some kind of self element. There's always conceit or self-view woven in intrinsically. It's endemic. That's why they give rise to more suffering, more alienation, tension in the heart. The samapadana, the four right efforts, the four aspects of right effort, they're free of self-view, free of conceit. So effort is made, but it leads to peacefulness, to liberation. It's work, but it's not stressful. It's not a chore. There's an ease and a joyfulness even as the work is being done. This makes all the difference in the world. The more that effort can be cultivated on a basis of mindfulness and wisdom, then the doing of the effort, making of the effort, doing of the practice takes application, but it's not a burden. It's not stressful. It's joyful, delightful. We can use this day to explore this, to notice those moments when effort is coming from mindfulness and wisdom. Feel how that is. Know that directly. Let that be the guiding light. Let that be something that speaks for itself. We can know that. Realize that directly. Then you don't have to have the words of someone else to convince you. You know it directly, immediately, right in your own heart.